Hello, and welcome to Volume 130 of Capital Ideas Live. In today's issue, we'll explore a new short course for forest landowners. We'll find out what's at stake when cutting trees near power lines. We'll learn about a new pallet mill in Selma, and we'll find out what's likely to happen in Montgomery this year. This program is brought to you by the generous contribution of Forester Search, a service that makes it easier to connect landowners with consulting foresters. You can access the site through foresterssearch.com, or there's a link on this page, and you'll be given a roster of consulting foresters who can guide you through the next steps you're facing as a forest landowner. I'm Hayes Brown, and I'll be your host for today's discussion. Tom Saunders is General Counsel and Director of Government Affairs for the Alabama Forestry Association. He's frequently in touch with the legislators in Montgomery, and so we wanted to see what he was up to. Welcome back, Tom.
Hayes, thanks for having me.
What should we expect to happen in the Alabama legislature this year that pertains to forest landowners?
Well, as you know, the number one priority for our legislators is to appropriate our tax dollars. Recently, thankfully, due to a robust economy, we're seeing really high levels of increased revenues coming into the state. So there's going to be an effort, I think, to address what to do with these dollars. And some of the discussion, actually, is to how maybe to give it back, which is a great thing. The one of the concepts is to perhaps reduce the income tax rates in the state. And one proposal floating around deals with specifically reducing the corporate income tax. How does that affect forest landowners? Well, most of our landowners have their properties held in some sort of business entity, most likely an LLC. If you focus only on the corporate income tax, it's not going to help those folks that have their land held in that manner. So we're going to be paying particular attention to that as it goes forward and make sure that if we are going to return tax dollars to the taxpayers, that we do it in a manner that is beneficial to timberland owners.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something to look out for, because the corporate tax rate's one thing, but the LLC rates are different. And manufacturing industries often are in corporately held, but landowning entities are often LLCs. So don't want to have them bypassed, right?
You'd be surprised how many manufacturing interests are either subchapter S or LLCs that both flow through the personal income tax. So something we need to pay attention to.
Okay. AFOA is one of the sponsors of the Agribusiness Council Legislative Reception, and it's going to be in February of this year. It's an opportunity for someone to meet face-to-face with a state legislator. And this is something that you do frequently. What are some tips that you have for someone doing this the first time, and what should they talk about if they ever have the opportunity to do such a thing?
Well, the key to all these events is follow-up. You're going to, you know, meet somebody at a reception and have 5 or 10 minutes to talk to them, and you're not really going to be able to get down into any detail. But what you can do is introduce yourself, tell them where you're from, and make some future plan to follow up with them. That's the key. And then actually follow up is important as well.
So you don't really have to carry the entire load when you meet a legislator at a reception like this. Just mainly make the introduction and let them know, you know, who you are and kind of what you're interested in.
Yeah, there's going to be 150 to 200 people at a reception generally. The legislator is going to be balancing in a plate of food and a drink and what, you know, and as will you be, and it's really not conducive to, you know, getting down in the weeds and talking about specific topics. But it is a great opportunity to introduce yourself and plan for some future opportunity to spend quality time with them.
Okay. Well, thanks, Tom. We appreciate that. Adam Maggard is an extension specialist and assistant professor at Auburn. He's developed a 6-week online course for landowners, which includes a field day, and it's designed to be a starting point for those who want to learn more about forestry. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What need do you see a course like this fills?
Well, it's kind of two. The main one is what the, you know, what it's doing in terms of education and reaching primarily the family forest landowners, the private landowners in the state of Alabama. We have, you know, they own approximately 60% of the timberland in the state. They're important to the long-term health of the forest and meeting the demand for forest product markets down the road. However, many of these family forest properties, especially going through, you know, generation shifts and land degradation as it gets broken down into smaller and smaller tracts, they go unmanaged for a variety of reasons. One of them being something that we do think we can, you know, have an impact on, and that's just the lack of knowledge, what to do, how to do it, why do it. And we want to address that through this course. And, you know, the other side of that is, you know, having this platform online so it's, you know, very flexible for the landowner. They don't have to be at a certain spot or professional. They don't have to be at a certain place at a certain time. They have the flexibility of kind of doing it on their own pace, but also have the benefits of, you know, working with, you know, professionals, instructors, and experts.
Well, you've touched on this, but how does this course go about addressing the needs that you've identified?
Well, it'll teach the primary part of it is just to teach the landowners the basics of forestry and forest management. It's going to benefit those landowners who want to be proactive about improving the health, resiliency, and opportunities on their forest land, but also provide them with information and confidence that they're able to effectively communicate with professional foresters and consultants. And that's one of the things we want to take away from that is, you know, we're going to teach a lot of things in there that they can directly apply to their property, but also give them that knowledge and information they need to just be able to effectively communicate with their consulting forester to help that be more of a, you know, efficient and beneficial process.
Can you tell us a little bit about the content of the program, what it entails?
Yeah, so it's a 6-week online course, and what we do is we basically break it down into 6 different major topic areas. Each week we'll release a new topic area. We'll have a lecture video or a presentation by an expert in that kind of topic or that area. You'll get those that participate in the course will get a notebook that has materials, you know, lecture notes, presentations, additional readings and materials for the course with that they can follow along. And then they, you know, once that occurs, they have basically any time during that six-week window to complete those on their own pace. And then each of the instructors that are in the course and presenters will be available at any time during that 6 weeks to interact and talk to them if they have questions. And then towards the end of that course, we'll have a field day where it's not mandatory, but anybody that's willing to come can meet the instructors, meet other participants in the course, and do some hands-on activities on the forest that were taught during the class. And there'll be things such as, you know, determining what forest type is best for your property, locating boundary lines and map reading, forest tree measurements, forest thinning for timber and wildlife, and forest product markets are some of the main topics that we'll cover this year.
Okay. Well, thanks, Adam. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Trees and power lines need to coexist, but from the standpoint of providing safe and reliable energy, there are certain do's and don'ts when cutting trees around power lines. Michael Nance is currently serving as senior manager in the construction department of TVA. Hello, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
How significantly do the risks increase when logging operations get near power lines?
Well, as everyone's aware, you know, the timber harvesting industry is a risky profession when you're talking about safety. But the risks exponentially increase when those harvesting operations get, near transmission lines or power lines. And, you know, something that was a hazardous activity changes into an extremely high hazardous activity.
What are some things that people don't really understand when they operate around power lines, especially loggers?
That's a great question. So, to start with, most of the transmission lines and sub-transmission lines, well, actually all of them, they're not insulated. So the object doesn't have to make contact with the line to actually have an arc flashover event. And probably the most not understood mechanism with transmission lines is the automation that's involved. The transmission lines will automatically try to reclose a series of times after it has an interruption. And, for example, I ran into a situation where a logger had actually cut a tree into the transmission line and reached over with a fellow buncher and pulled it out. And luck was on his side, as he actually pulled it out of the line while in between the period when the line was trying to reclose. So, if you have anything get into the power line, you never want to go back and try to retrieve it.
Okay. Have you seen fatalities around power lines?
Oh, yes. Yes. Unfortunately, I was aware of one operation where timber harvesting was going on and bad weather, and they moved their landing where they were going to be loading the material, and they happened to move their landing near where a sub-transmission line was located. And in that case, when they were loading the truck, they got into the power line, and one gentleman died as a result of it.
If you had one item of importance that you could impart to landowners, what would it be?
Reach out to TVA if you're working near a transmission line. You can go on our website, TVA.gov. We've got lots of information there, and if you're concerned about you're cutting close to the transmission line, you want to know what all the do's and don'ts are, we've got foresters that work every region. We'll be more than happy to dispatch one out and come review your situation and make sure that, we're mitigating all the risk that we can. And in some cases, we've elected to bring our own people in and cut the tree down for you. We don't do that every time, but, safety is the number one goal for us.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
we're pleased to welcome Hal Wallace to Capital Ideas Live. His company called Pallet One will purchase wood in Selma to make pallets for moving goods around the country. Hello, Hal.
Hey, Lisa. How are you doing?
Tell us what the significance is for this new pallet mill that's opening in Selma.
It's actually what we've had a pallet mill in Selma for a long time. What we're opening is a sawmill adjacent to the pallet mill in a joint venture with a European partner called PGS out of France. And that sawmill is going to supplement the pallet supply, the supply of pallet lumber in the marketplace in Alabama and other areas with what's going on. So it's a neat operation, a little different. Most sawmills exist to cut lumber for construction and treated wood and the higher uses. And we have traditionally bought low grade lumber from those sawmills. This is going to cut lumber specifically for us and for our industry and not try to target those other markets.
Okay. Well, landowners need these markets for all grades of timber, including the lower grades that you're mentioning. How does this particular mill address that need for using lower grade wood?
Well, that's our target size. So we will leave the larger grade logs that are our mill is a nice mill and it's automated, but the investment in it is probably a third of what some of the bigger sawmills that have come into Alabama are. And our target is to take a smaller log and cut it on a standard basis to make pallet lumber from it. And because it's a smaller log, we don't have the same investment in the raw material that a larger mill would have. And so our hurdles for being able to make a profit cutting that lumber is a little bit smaller. So we're going to be a good outlet in that marketplace in southern Alabama for the or central Alabama for the market that is for what they call a super pulpwood log or a chip and saw log.
Could you give us an idea of what a pallet mill does for the overall economy? In other words, what kind of footprint is there that a pallet mill occupies in comparison with other types of mills?
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of usage, we're probably going to buy 400 million tons of lumber, or timber at that mill once we get to full operation on it. And some of those larger mills that are being done are on the order of, over a billion feet. So we're about a third the size of a big mill. But on the same token, we get into the, we're going to be buying a log that most people don't want to get, and being able to keep that as people plan their harvesting, they're going to be able to give us logs that otherwise might have to take a deeper discount on or leave in the woods even. So we'll be glad to be participating in that marketplace.
Okay. Well, thanks, Hal. We appreciate your joining us. And that's all the time we have for this issue. Our thanks go to Tom Saunders, Adam Maggard, Michael Nance, and Hal Wallace. Developments like a new pellet mill in Selma are welcome news for forest landowners. Mill expansion is on the rise in Alabama and throughout the Southeast. Markets are critical to forest ownership. Ed Lowenstein has said that if you don't have markets, you only have one problem. It really underscores the point that the responsible management of forest requires markets to practice silviculture, which is the care and management of forest stands. So no markets means no silviculture. No silviculture means no sustainable management of forests. It's just that simple. So that's one reason these new mills are so important to forest landowners who care and manage our forests. On behalf of the Alabama Forest Owners Association, I'm Hayes Brown. Thank you for joining us for this issue of Capital Ideas Live.